If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Thank you, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Business Lunch. Producer Michael Heidemann is giving me a little bit of a send-off. I am leaving after the show today, taking off almost for 2 full weeks and bringing a group of WGN listeners to Prague and Vienna. We take off tonight, so thanks for that. Roger Chang doesn't care so much about that. He writes for CNET, and he joins us on a phone line now. Roger, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thanks for having me, and I'm jealous.
You know, we're going to have a great time. We always do, and I can't wait, but I have to say, I just hate the travel day. You know, we leave at 6 o'clock and it's just waiting all day or working, putting out fires and things. So I can't wait to be on the plane. Okay. You're here to talk about some of the new things in technology, some virtual reality. You wrote a piece about Verizon that I want to touch on, but let me start with, something sort of outside both of our bailiwicks, but this Apple, patent request where they want technology that will allow them to block people from recording, say, a concert or a movie or things like that. What do you know about that?
Yeah, so right now this is a patent application that they put in. The idea is that when you're at a concert or a venue, there'll be infrared signals that will be sent to your phone, basically telling it to disable the camera function. This, you know, this theoretically would block you from, you know, raising your phone up and capturing the concert as it's going on. That's something that artists have been complaining about. Now, keep in mind, this is just a patent application. This isn't, it doesn't necessarily mean that it actually will show up in your iPhone. Apple tends to throw out a lot of patent applications, and a lot of them don't actually get used.
Same for me, Roger. I throw out a lot of patent applications, and rarely does one come through for me. I like the, but you know what? It makes sense. If you're going to see a concert, and it used to be you weren't supposed to take pictures, now we've all got these cameras, and it still is something that the concert creator, the producer owns, and if they can come up with technology to protect that, I think they're probably all for that. Now, Apple also says that this technology would allow you to maybe, again, you're right, it's in the drawing, on the drawing table, but maybe go to an art exhibit, focus your phone on a work of art, and then the technology that would block the picture, that laser or whatever, the infrared beam, might also convey information. So you could point your phone at a work of art and then find out more about that artist and all of that. So that's certainly a positive use of that technology. We'll see where that goes. Tell me about Verizon and the fact that they are now, I guess you can't use the term rollover because AT&T owns that, but they're going to allow, I'm going to say, a data rollover from month to month. It seems like they're not really leading here, but they're catching up.
Definitely. These were a couple of programs that T-Mobile and AT&T announced early last year. And you know, at the time, Verizon was very dismissive of the concept of bringing in a rollover program. You know, flash forward, you know, a year and a half, competition has gotten even more brutal, and Verizon is, you know, looking for ways to, you know, make themselves more competitive. They call it a carryover data plan, and granted, again, Verizon hasn't confirmed any of these changes, but they have sort of hinted at big changes or big fireworks to come next week. So we can expect maybe something or some big announcement then. But, you know, a rollover program, free calls to Canada and Mexico, and for some customers, the elimination of overage fees. These are all things that T-Mobile, AT&T, and Sprint, to some extent, have already offered. So this is really Verizon playing catch-up.
You know, they refer to this safety net that would protect you from overage fees, which was loathed and ridiculed before people called it a safety net, right? Because basically what they're doing is once you get close to your limit, they just slow down the Internet speed on your phone.
Right, which is a standard practice that, say, T-Mobile has. You know, you pay for a certain amount of data, say a gig, 2 gigs, and once you hit that limit, they don't charge you a fee. They just slow you down. Verizon is doing this for its high-end programs, again, rumor to. But it's interesting, if you've got sort of one of the lower programs with less data, they might actually charge you a $5 fee to access the safety mode, which is essentially paying a fee to avoid another fee.
So to save on your data charges, you're going to pay a fee. Okay, Amazon Prime, their big Prime Day, they announced is going to be on July 12th, so about 10 or 12 days from now, 12 or 13 maybe. It seems like last year on Prime Day, they were selling things like Tupperware and not big screen TVs.
Yes. I think Amazon sort of learned its lesson from last year where, you know, the reaction was definitely mixed. The hashtag Prime Day Sale was a trending term that day. You know, a lot of people criticized the lack of real good deals, and there were things like Tupperware or everyday household items that you may or may not really want. This year, they've said that it's going to be a big event if you're interested in televisions or toys. They've promised to sort of stock up on the inventory so deals don't run out as quickly as they did last year. And they're promising, you know, the biggest sales day of the year for Amazon.
And they're hoping it's going to be like a Black Friday thing, or Cyber Monday's their biggest day, I think, right? But they're hoping to build this up into something that one day rivals it.
Absolutely. And then the whole point of this is, you know, this is just, it's essentially another marketing effort to get people to join Prime, right?
Yeah.
You're only eligible for these deals.
Do you belong, Roger, do you belong to Prime?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't live without Prime. I'm a parent of a baby right now, so.
So you use it for a lot of shopping.
Every day we're getting diapers or bottles or something shipped to us.
So funny because I bought into Prime about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, for a TV show. I am not the parent of babies. My babies are way too old for that, so I don't do much online shopping. I bought it for TV, watched one series, maybe two series, and now I'm just sitting there looking at my Prime password, so I'm not sure it was a good deal for me. But if you ever want to use my number to buy some baby formula, you're welcome to it, Roger Chang. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for that. Thanks for having me.
That's Roger. You can read more of what he writes at CNET.com. It's 19 minutes after 12. 1223, the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Bill Geiger, Chicago's retirement planning advisor, is in the studio. You know, we've been talking about, well, it seems like every day, in one form or another, talking about this Brexit vote, which is good for me because I love it. I soak it up. I think it's very interesting. And, well, Bill, welcome back to the studio.
Nice to be here, sir.
It's the sort of thing that has an impact on all of us, doesn't it?
It does. It does, particularly if you're getting close to retirement.
Right. So why is that? What's the impact here? I mean, I know we saw the indices drop. They're coming back a little bit.
They are. And the Brexit issue is bigger than the Brexit issue, if you will. If you are getting close to retirement, you're 5 to 10 years out, whether it's Brexit or it's a terrorist attack or whatever, you're too close to retirement to sustain really big losses
right,
like in 2008. Let me tell you how we're handling this in our firm. We had a 60-year-old couple come in earlier this week, and the first thing the guy said to me, he says, I'm going to retire in 7 years. I can't go through another 2008. And his wife was very firmly right there with him. And basically, they had a portfolio, and they had a lot of risk in it. And what they needed and what we helped them with is putting together a game plan for the retirement. And the game plan for retirement consists of two major things, a plan for how are you going to have the income that you need in retirement, sustainable income, and how are you going to control the risk. And basically what you want to do, Steve, is you want to make your portfolio, your retirement portfolio, as close to bulletproof as is humanly possible.
Right.
So whether it's Brexit or whatever it is, you don't, the wife said to me, she says, I don't want to have to work past 67. And that's the deal. You don't want to have to go through that.
Well, you know, there obviously this Brexit vote has a lot of people here thinking of it. Certainly there. I was telling you, when we go on our trip, we're going to come back through London.
Right.
And I have a friend who actually was an intern here back maybe in the 80s, a guy named Steve Brine, who's a member of Parliament.
Fantastic.
He's an MP. He's a conservative, and he voted to remain. My daughter's studying there, so I'm hoping to introduce the two of them, and we'll break this down a little bit. They definitely are reeling. Here, not so much, right? I mean, here we're going to recover, but it's just sort of a learning curve or a lesson for the rest of us.
It is. There's a lot of discord throughout Europe, and how much that affects us here. You know, I've got a bachelor's degree in economics, I have an MBA in finance, and I can very firmly tell you, nobody knows the end game here.
Right.
Nobody does. Everybody can have an opinion, we can talk about it, but nobody really knows, Steve.
Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, so the important thing is not whether or not this is the big one. The important thing is whether you're prepared, whether your retirement portfolio is prepared. And that's, do you have a game plan? Do you know how you're going to do this retirement thing? Do you know where your income is going to go come from? And do you know just how much risk is in your portfolio? If you don't know the answers to those questions, you're not ready.
Tell me a little bit about the timing of it, too, because, you know, the markets took a hit here right now. Do you wait it out, wait to recover to transfer things over, or should we do it right away?
Well, you need to begin. I would suggest that everybody needs to begin yesterday
right. Creating
a game plan. Now, whether or not you put it into effect this week or next month, that's up in the air. But if you're 5 years out, especially, man, you need to yesterday put together a plan for your retirement.
That's kind of the point, isn't it? That you don't have to do today, but you have to plan to do today.
Well, you need to plan to do today, and you need to begin implementing the plan.
Right. How many people do you think are ready for this whole retirement idea?
I can tell you we see new people in our offices every week. And if there's one consistent theme is that people have a whole lot more risk than what they believe they do. And they don't have a plan for how to have sustainable income.
I'm convinced, you know, that retirement's one of those things that's always there. We're always thinking about it, but we're not really actually doing it. We think we're doing something about it, but we're not really doing anything about it.
Well, as you get closer, you start thinking more about that. And, Steve, I know you're going to make an announcement here in just a moment about a special offer we have for your listeners today. But let me just mention that when you do, the first five people that call in, I'm going to meet with them personally to help them put together a full-blown game plan for their retirement.
Well, if you're in your late 50s or early 60s, this could be a confusing time for retirement planning. And if you're wondering how the election, the global events, and the current economy might affect your retirement, you're not alone. Bill understands, and he has a tremendous opportunity for you today. As he said, Bill Geiger will sit down with you personally to create a full-blown financial plan for your retirement. It's complimentary for the next five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for their retirement. So give him a call at 800-681-2498, and Bill will translate the complex financial planning process into an easy-to-understand step-by-step process with a roadmap to help get you to where you want to be. Call Geiger Wealth Management right now, 800-681-2498. That's 800-681-2498. Bill Geiger, great to see you again.
Good to be here, sir.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you, Ryan Burrow. Ryan's been talking all morning about what's going on in Springfield, the developments, and we got an expert in the studio, Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune, and the host of the Sunday Spin here on 720 WGN joins us. Rick, thanks for coming by.
Good to be here, Steve.
Okay, let me first say, really, one of my favorite parts of the weekend, I go to the health club about 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings.
You already go to the health club.
Okay. But I just love listening to you and Schwann and Penny Ottomans.
Yes, exactly.
Just setting the table and talking about the week in politics. It's a great show. I really appreciate that you do it.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate people for listening. I think it's a good way to kind of wake up.
A nice way to get a review Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock and then get a preview because you talk to a lot of political leaders as well.
Well, but you know, it's the 4th of July weekend, and so we're going to do something a little bit different.
What are you going to do?
Well, Dave Schwann did this series on the 100th anniversary of the National Parks.
Exactly,
and
he's
trimmed it into a podcast, so we're going to play that.
Nice.
So people get a chance to, you know, patriotic, go visit the parks kind of thing.
Beautiful. I know Schwann loves that stuff, too.
Absolutely. And then we've got a local mayor from Burr Ridge. He's the first person to go to all 50 state capitals and deliver the Gettysburg Address. And he wrote a book about it.
Oh, sweet.
And just, you know, kind of life lessons kind of things.
Well, that will spare the listeners rehashing what's happening today in Springfield.
Well, we'll have to touch on that.
What is happening today in Springfield?
Well, yeah, let's wait and see how the day ends up.
Honestly,
okay?
You know, usually I have a pretty good handle on it today. You know, there were these working groups for a while, and then
right. And
what struck me was Governor Rauner kept saying, not that we're making progress, it's looking good. He would say things like, well, I hear the working groups are doing well. There was
right. Like
a weird
removal.
Exactly, from it. And then all of a sudden we have this agreement. So where are we today?
Well, the House is moving apace. Right now, though, they've already moved several bills, several of those Chicago-related bills that have been in the news. They've advanced a bill that would give the schools the permission to raise property taxes.
It's $200 million?
To go to pensions,
okay.
Right? Then you've got another bill that would give the state, have the state give the Chicago Public Schools over $200 million for pensions.
Okay.
As the state provides pension money to other school districts
right.
outside Chicago. The one caveat with that, it passed the House, will pass the Senate, but that whole payment next June is contingent on state lawmakers coming up with a much more comprehensive pension bill.
Okay.
And we've been down that road before.
Right, I was going to say.
And the Supreme Court struck it down. And, you know, sure, they may pass something, and Senate President John Cullerton has an idea of what he thinks might pass constitutional muster, but that having been said, it'll go to court, and it, you know, anything that passes regarding public employee pensions is going to go to court.
So even this pension funding bit
right.
is subject to a pension reform law down the road?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
And
well,
so,
you know, when you said that, I'm going to go off the path here, but I remember Jim Thompson would come every year there'd be a school crisis, right? And Jim Thompson would come with the solution. But that was a speed up, that was a general funding thing, right?
In fact, yes, that was to make the double payments
right,
in June.
Right, right.
So you basically moved the one payment into the previous year rather than the next year.
That would give the schools the money.
Right.
That's not this.
No, that's
okay,
not this.
Okay.
That's not this. But it would be a one time only payment. Not, this would not be in perpetuation.
Okay.
But ostensibly, it would be the start of something that would achieve that, quote, pension parity that Mayor Emanuel is talking
and
about.
And so Governor Rauner is giving these things in order to get a vote on the budget, or what's
on the 6-month budget?
Okay.
Yes, and
okay.
you know, for I mean, that's kind of what's interesting is, you know, the last couple of weeks, and you had the governor traveling the state, largely staying in downstate areas, represented by Democrats that Republicans are looking to pick off in the November elections.
Coincidence, just
and,
coincidence,
of course, and saying things like, "Well, we're not going to give Chicago schools a bailout. We're not going to have taxpayer money from downstate in the suburbs used to bail out the Chicago schools." It's been a real conundrum for these Republicans in the last few days as part of this deal to try to dig themselves out of the criticism of bailing out Chicago.
Okay, so go ahead.
Well, and that's, of course, you talk to the folks up here in the city, and it's like, no, it's not a bailout. The state pays the pension costs for everybody else outside Chicago.
Sure.
Taxpayers do it here, plus send income taxes that go to pensions outside. That's the parity complaint. But Republicans have long said that Chicago gets an outside share of state money for operations compared to other school districts.
All right. Well, let's just see how Macomb does if Chicago's not in the state of Illinois.
Well, you know, there's been that talk.
Better? Are they going to leave?
There's been that. Well, and Macomb, of course, is so anxiously awaiting the big stopgap budget bill. That's the one that they haven't voted on yet.
And that's because of that's college funding?
That's got the college money in it, but it's a six-month budget bill.
Okay, okay.
And, you know, everybody decries, oh, it's just 6 months. It's not a full year. But, you know, as we've learned from this past year, something's better than nothing. And if it gets us past the election, gets us past the rhetoric, gets us, quite frankly, into January when you just need a simple majority of votes, not a three-fifths majority
which we
of votes,
need today.
Which is what you need today.
Okay, give me some real-time stuff. So it's going through the House. You mentioned that there just was an amendment introduced.
What I'm hearing is that there was an amendment introduced by the African-American caucus seeking some more kind of minority funding in education. Now,
this is in the Chicago bill? Or this
no, this is in the large
stopgap. Okay,
the stopgap bill. Now, and just traditionally, when we see these deals down in Springfield and things look like they're rolling, there's always a kind of a crash
right.
that occurs, and then there has to be a fix-it.
Right.
So this is not unexpected that there's...
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part. This is the horror part of the
this is
process.
The sausage being made.
Right, right.
I mean, this really is.
Well, what I'm looking forward to is once this is done and they vote on the budget and the governor signs it, we'll have this big... You know, session where the governor and the speaker and the Senate president put their arms around each other and congratulates the right honorable gentleman from Chicago. And
is that really coffee that you've got in that cup? I mean, come on. This change is really nothing. Okay. You do have the fact that each side, Governor Rauner and the Democrats, each had to give. That's frankly, that's what compromise
right.
is all about, and this has largely been a game of chicken. But what I think finally has happened, and particularly it's driven by the schools and the issue of, you know, will schools open? What kind of problems occur when schools can't open? Those kinds of things. I think each side thought it was winning and now just saw that kind of support kind of crumble over the very reality of what happens to the school.
Right. So they finally did see that sort of their backs against the wall. Something has to be done.
And you have that kind of atmosphere out there, too, of in November with legislative elections. Is it just going to be beat up the incumbents?
So what happened to all the things we were talking about, the workers' comp reform,
the turnaround agenda the governor calls.
So
it.
Is all of that, I'm assuming that's not gone, that will come back in
exactly.
January.
It's only in abeyance for this period. Of course, Democrats will say, well, look what happens, Governor, when you set aside these controversial issues,
we can get stuff done. So really what they're doing today is buying a little extra time.
This is breathing room to get through the election. Now, and as far as that kumbaya moment, I mean, the moment whatever gets done in Springfield gets done, then we're going to be full-fledged into November election mode. And you can expect...
There ain't no time for kumbaya.
No. The lyrics, the song takes too long. The rhetoric is going to get just as heated and we'll be back into the pointing of fingers.
Well, I'm glad you're watching it, Rick Pearson. We'll listen on Sunday morning at 7 to hear more.
Thank you, Steve.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. You know, here we go. Listen to this. History comes alive in Springfield, Illinois.
I know the place well.
Walk the Abraham Lincoln Walk. Brought my kids down there, right?
Yes.
You know the Lincoln sites.
Absolutely.
Talk with a Civil War general. Experience the 19th century. Enjoy free, family-friendly activities all summer long. Learn about history by living history in the city Abraham Lincoln knew and loved. Rick Pearson, too. Plan your trip now at visitspringfieldillinois.com. That's visitspringfieldillinois.com. Always legendary Springfield, where history comes alive. Thank you, Ori. It's Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. You know, I'm going to take off for a vacation for about 10, 11 days to lead some WGN listeners, some great listeners. We've been emailing back and forth, and we're going to go visit Prague and Vienna. So I know Suzanne Muchen will be here tomorrow, Elise Kling filling in next week. Keep those ladies company, will you? And I'll be back on July 12th. It's a big week at the Pew Trust. You know, they've got this state-line legislative review initiative, and this is the week where each day of the week they're looking at different issues facing the state and how states are dealing with them. The executive director of that is Scott Greenberger, and he joins us on a phone line this afternoon. Scott, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thanks very much for having me.
You bet. Okay, so I know yesterday you looked at the minimum wage and increases of that around the state. Today the focus kind of is on paid family leave, correct? Is that's an issue that, well, I don't know, it seems like more states are talking about it. Are more states actually doing anything about it?
Well, that's exactly right. Certainly a lot of states are talking about it. Still, we only have... only a handful of states have paid leave laws. California passed one back in 2002, New Jersey in 2008, Rhode Island in 2013, and New York just recently passed one. But there other states are beginning to talk more about it, and Illinois is certainly one of those, one of about a half dozen states where family leave measures, paid family leave measures were introduced. And again, that paid or unpaid distinction is important, because since 1993, there's been a federal Family and Medical Leave Act, but that only guarantees workers up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave, and also less than 60% of workers qualify for that. So many states are interested in doing something about this issue.
Scott, I know that you're aware of what's going on in Illinois, but you know, we're jumping up and down excited today because we might actually have a budget for the first time in 2 years. I don't know if we're ready to take on paid family leave.
Well, in fact, I guess this is the case with many pieces of legislation and initiatives in general, is that money is an issue, of course. So if you're going to pass this law, the question is who pays for it. Some states have employers, have a payroll tax that applies to employers, some on employees, some on a combination of the two. And the other thing is that you need to set up some sort of administration to implement this, and that also costs money. The states that have passed these laws so far all have existing or had existing disability insurance systems that they were able to use to implement the new paid family leave, and Illinois does not have that,
right,
so it would be a higher barrier.
They kind of had the infrastructure already in place, right? So, you know,
that's exactly right,
We talk about this as if it's some great luxury, and boy, wouldn't it be nice, but really the U.S. stands alone among industrialized countries when it comes to the fact that we don't have a national plan like this.
That's true. That's true. You know, Bernie Sanders talked a lot about that, and Hillary Clinton is now talking about it as well. I do think that that we're at the beginning of this conversation, and I do think that as time goes on, this will be a more prominent issue in the states. Because I think it's true that many families are struggling to balance their personal and family obligations and their work obligations, and the question is whether there's something that can be done for them in this area without placing an undue burden on employers.
Well,
it's a tough balance to strike.
That's the thing, you know, business has legitimate concerns about it. The fact that it will, I know that some states have the employees contributing, but opponents say it still will be businesses who end up paying for it. What strikes me, the I think maybe their best argument, and we got to go quickly here, Scott, are the small companies like a hairdresser or a grocer or something, where they really can't afford to not only pay a worker not to be there for 12 weeks, but to not have that worker for 12 weeks. They'd have to bring in someone else to fill those shoes, and that's quite a burden.
It is. It is. And some states may end up that are considering this are talking about whether perhaps the laws they would pass would exempt smaller businesses like the ones you mentioned.
Scott Greenberger is the executive director of the State Line Project at the Pew Trust. Thanks very much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.